We're going down to South Florida, bringing our very good friend from the Bay Area. He's the play-by-play voice of the Marlins on television. My sisters, Renee and Marilyn, listen all the time. And he's a good friend. Rich Waltz, how are you?
You know what, Marty? Last night before the ball game, there was a groundswell of dismay that you had not made this trip because of your not only your roots in Miami, but the accolades and awards that you received while growing up here.
You know,
the area know that you've got Miami roots, and the ballpark here sits on the site that used to be the Orange Bowl. And I suspect you snuck into the Orange Bowl a few times in your day.
Yes, I did. Boy, I saw Muhammad Ali in the end zone of the Orange Bowl. He used to go to the Miami football games. I remember that when he was Cassius Clay way back then. But, yeah, boy, you know something, you're right. I wanted to go down there and do the shows, and then it sort of didn't work out logistically with the trip. And I said, all right, but you know something, you're right. You embarrassed me about this. I have to go there, and I'm going there next year. That is a promise.
All right, well, that's good.
That's a promise. So, yeah, I love it. Come on. So, you know, it's funny. I looked at the structure last night, and Stanton just hit a bomb, his first home run in about 16 games. But I like it. Are you used to it? What do you think about it, the home run structure?
It depends on what generation you're from. I think a lot of baseball traditionalists look at it, and they see, you know, it's sort of like Peter Max met met someone who designed baseball. I mean, if you got a guy from the 60s who walking up University Avenue in Berkeley and you asked him to build something baseball-wise with fish and flamingos and water shooting out, I think that's what you would get. The kids tend to love it. You look at a lot of ballparks that stuff like the Rocks in Anaheim. You find it around baseball. This is more modern, and you would know more than anyone that it's very Miami. Miami is very much an art mecca for not only the United States but all of South America. A lot of European art influences here, and this is a modern art type deal. So. I certainly, as a Marlin broadcaster, it's more fun when it goes off, like last night when Stanton hit it. And if it goes off a little more often, maybe the ball club will start winning, get back on the winning side of things. But you grow accustomed to it. It's a little jarring at first. I was talking to Larry Bear last night as he was taking a look around, and I think his thoughts are very much like the thoughts of anyone that comes here for the first time that has spent any time in Miami. And they look at the ballpark, they look at the design, they walk the concourse. You can see the downtown skyline through the rolling windows, and almost everybody's first reaction is, this looks like and feels like Miami. Mm. And that, I think to the people who designed it and built it, a testament and a compliment, because, you know, you want to have a distinct ballpark. San Francisco's ballpark, your guys' ballpark is just such a... I mean, it's so San Francisco with the view of the bay, the sweeping view and all of that. So it's Miami. I think there's no question about it.
Wow, beautiful. Now, Jeffrey Loria is an art dealer, and, I mean, you know, has a great art collection, made tons of money in art. What does he think about the structure out there? Does he talk about it?
Oh, absolutely. And he's the reason it's there. Red Groom is the artist who actually built it. There's a lot of art in this building itself, a lot of baseball art, and there's an Orange Bowl exhibit as well. But this ballpark is dotted with a lot of art from different eras and different interpretations, all of it baseball related. So it's pretty cool. I mean, he knows the guy that designs this, and I don't frequent the art world or go to many gallery openings, so I don't know Red Grooms from Red Grange or Red Shandings for that matter.
That's better.
We're talking baseball. But apparently he's a big deal, and so he's the guy that the owner turns to.
Well, I love the bobblehead collection and that, you know, the museum. It's really beautiful, and that I like. I like that.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of cool stuff in this ballpark. It's not a throwback ballpark. Like AT&T or Coors Field or the others, this is a modern ballpark with the modern art type feel of downtown Miami.
Well, all right, let's talk a little baseball. This is a heck of a matchup tonight. As I said earlier in the show, two all-stars, but you don't even, you know, if I said Tim Hudson and Henderson Alvarez, you'd say they were all-stars? Maybe not top priority, but this is a heck of a matchup tonight.
It is, and they're very similar, Marty. They're two guys that get it, throw it, and sink it, and they actually do it again and again and again. And the Marlins have seen way too much of Hudson over the years, in his years in Atlanta. He's got a great record against him. He's 14-4 in his career, 3-0 in this ballpark. He's the master. Alvarez is a guy that's really come on. It started last year. He threw that unique no-hitter
right
at the end of last year, in which he didn't get the no-hitter until the bottom of the ninth because Miami had not scored a run against the Tigers. And he was in the on-deck circle when the winning run scored on a wild pitch in the bottom of the ninth to get his no-hitter.
Wow.
But he's thrown three more shutouts since then. So, I mean, if you look at Alvarez, in his last 20 starts, four of them have been shutouts. So he's a guy, you know, when Miami traded away and rebuilt, so to speak, or retrofitted, or whatever term you want to use, that 2012 disaster, the, you know, Ozfest 2012, with the big payroll and Ozzie Guillen and all that. The biggest trade they made was with the Toronto Blue Jays, and certainly Alvarez's name wasn't one of the sexier names. There really weren't any sexy names that came down in that trade, but it turned out to be a terrific trade for the Marlins, and I think this year for the Blue Jays, too, with Mark Burley having a terrific year and Reyes being healthy. But Alvarez was part of that flotilla of players that came down, and a lot of them are producing, are helping. Is Adeniyi Echeverria at shortstop, another guy, and some more young talent that's on the way that came from that trade.
Well, Rich Waltz with us, play-by-play voice. You know, if you got DirecTV or the MLB package, you hear him all the time for the Marlins. Dan Uggla's name has come up. We've kicked it around here. The Giants are, you know, looking for that extra bat in the top of the order, second baseman. You get to see a lot of Dan Uggla. Does he have anything left?
I don't know, and we were talking about that as well. Remind me, because Miami got a lot of heat when they did not sign Uggla when he went to the Braves. The Marlins offered 4 years at $50 million. Didn't the Giants kick the tires on Uggla as well?
A little bit. They didn't want to go that those years are
right.
Money, but he could. You remember him as a Marlin. He hit in this park.
Yes, not in this park. But he hit in this park as
AT&T, I'm talking. He hit an AT&T.
Oh, an AT&T. Oh, well, yeah, without a doubt. He hit in a lot of parks as a Marlin, that's for sure. And even his first few years as a Brave. But, you know, St. Louis took a lot of heat for not giving him that extra year. Atlanta did. And now, you know, they essentially got two really good years out of him. I guess the question with Uggla is this. I have never run into a player in my 20 years in the big leagues who has used the chip on his shoulder to his advantage more than Dan Uggla. He was ignored in the Arizona system. He was a Rule 5 draft pick by Miami in 2006, and they gave him a chance. You know, in Arizona, he was bypassed, whether it was Drew or Reynolds or whoever, whatever infielder they had coming up. That's the guy that the guy always got promoted instead of Uggla. And for Dan, it was eternally frustrating. But when he got to the big league, he used that chip on his shoulder. He was an all-star his first year in 06. An all-star three times. He used that chip on his shoulder as fuel. And, you know, maybe the big money, maybe the long contract, he lost some of that. And he certainly lost his swing. So the question is, if given a chance to stick it in the Braves' ear now or prove to everybody else that he's not done, of all the guys that I see in the big league, he would be the guy that could motivate himself to do it. Can he do it physically? Can he get his swing back? I don't know. Craig Walker's a good hitting coach. For whatever reason, it didn't work. Sometimes the change of venues, sometimes the change of scenery will work. But I wouldn't discount him, and I wouldn't put it past him, having watched what he did here. If someone takes a chance, he's going to have to go play in AAA for 3 weeks to a month just to get it in playing shape because he hasn't played at all in Atlanta. Mm. But somebody may do it. Somebody may do it because he has that type of power.
Great. Boy, great insight. That's great background on Dan Uggla. Rich Waltz of the Marlins, play-by-play voice of TV. All right, Marlins in a tailspin, a lull. What's going on with the ball club? They've lost five straight. They were so good earlier in the season. I know the Jose Fernandez injury, but, you know, are they just not playing good ball now, hitting, pitching? What went south on them?
Well, just first of all, my partner Tommy Hutton just came into the booth, and Tommy wants to know if there's any more bottles of wine in the Marty Lurie wine cellar. Because he ran out this winter.
The Santa Rita is here for him, and I'm even going to throw in my I'm throwing in my bobblehead with it on August 25th. He's getting one of those.
You're getting a bobblehead, Marty?
August 25th, a special night bobblehead, yeah.
Oh, Hud and I have been waiting for our bobblehead night for 10 years, and it hadn't happened. And so when you come to Miami, bring it. It'll sneak it into the bobblehead museum.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, you and Tommy have one. Believe me, you both will have one.
Hey, your question was the Marlins, and it's a good one. I don't quite know, because it's a team that's made a quantum leap improvement from last year, a ball club that lost 100 games, and having watched them all year, I don't know how they won 62 games last year. They've been above 500 or at 500 for the longest time, and in the last week before the All-Star game, they had a disastrous swing through Arizona and New York. They had a blown save. Steve Cishek, who's been a terrific closer for him, blew a save, a two-run lead in Arizona, and then they got swept and lost a game they should have won in New York. And both the Giants and the Marlins came into this series thinking, hey, now this is the second half. Now everything's going to click for us. And I know the Giants had struggled coming in. Well, the Giants looked like a team that was intent on turning it around last night. It's still a young team. The Marlins have the youngest outfield in baseball, a very talented one. They have a very young rotation, Alvarez, Eovaldi, Kohler, Hand. So that's the question is the snowball rolling down the hill and gaining speed, or is this a bump in the road and will they recover? I don't know. They're much more fun to watch. They're much improved. They might be two or three pieces away still from being able to contend with the Braves and the Nationals in this division. It's a team that before the season started, I think Tommy and I thought they would win probably 77 to 79 games. And if they do that, that's an enormous improvement from last year. So to answer your question, they are in a slump, but as you know, it's the next day starting pitcher, and the guy tonight, Henderson Alvarez, has an opportunity, although, you know, Hudson's so good that it's a great matchup tonight. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a slump or it's a bump in the road. I know it's game 96 or something like that.
Yes.
That's what I know.
Believe me, I've been there. Hey, it's just a pleasure having you on, and always a pleasure to talk to Tommy through you. And Santa Rita wine is in your future. The bobblehead, I'll have Renee bring the bobblehead down to you at the ballpark.
Okay. And you tell the Lurie sisters they're welcome in the Marlins Bright.
All right.
At any time, please say hi to everybody. I miss the Bay Area a lot.
I know you do. We love you out here, Rich. Thanks so much. I appreciate you being on. Say hi to Tommy.
Hi, Marty. Thank you.
All right, boy, that's fun. Rich Wallace and Tommy Hutton. That is part of the Marlins TV broadcast team. Yeah, pretty good. Well, as he said, unfortunately for him, 96 down, 66 to go. I've been there because they're not in it. And so that could translate, hopefully, into something good for the Giants tonight. But Henderson Alvarez, as Rich Walsh says, he's a guy who can throw a shutout, and he's a sinker ball pitcher. And, again, I'll do this in our stats when we do the pregame, but not many home runs hit off of Alvarez or Tim Hudson.